Boy, it's quiet in this house. I tried to change that, brother. I really did. They're getting it, all right? I'm missing Phil today. I don't know where he is, but I'm telling you what. He's my amen corner. Glory to God. You know who I'm talking about. So anyhow, these questions, they're for me, and if you can use them, please take advantage of them and put some real thought, consideration, and be truthful with the Lord. Does my purpose come into alignment with His purpose? His meaning the Lord's. Do I keep my focus on His purpose, or has the distractions of this life hindered me from walking in divine purpose? Do we really know or even understand the season of time which we are living in? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, please. I'm going to read out of the ESV on this passage. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. Working together with Him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Well, we haven't done that. Can you say amen? For He says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I helped you. Has any of you, besides me, come out of darkness into light? Aren't you glad that He rescued you? See, I should be in hell today. I know you guys are all perfect, and, you know, and I bless you for that. But on the other side of it is, you know, the wages of sin was death, and I deserved every ounce of it. So I do not take the grace of God in vain, for by grace I'm saved through what? Through faith. It's not of Bob, it's of Him. Amen. How about you? I owe my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've got to hold my grandchildren and now my great-grandchildren, because I had the opportunity to slip out of this life at 28 years old and go into hell. And I do not want anyone going there. I don't want my enemies going there. Do you understand me? And I know you're no different than me. If we're honest with each other, we know that you and I have received the same Spirit that raised Him up from the dead. You and I understand that God still loved the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to redeem them. He came to deliver them. He came because why? Because He loves the sinner. He doesn't love the sin. He doesn't love their attitudes and their actions. But He loves them. And I thought, Lord, help us as Your church fall back in love with what really You love, so that we walk in our purpose, fulfilling His purpose for us individually as well as corporately, because You have given us the ministry of reconciliation. All of us, each and every one of us in this house. For He says, in a favorable time I have listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What time are we living in? You thought I was going to say we're living in the last of the last days. Well, I believe we are. If nothing else, you know, if Jesus tarries, these are my last days. So am I going to fulfill my purpose in fulfilling His purpose in my life by His grace, or am I going to fall short and do my own deal? I prayed a dangerous prayer years ago, and I think some of you might have heard that prayer. Father, not my will, but Yours be done. I had no clue what that meant. I did not have a dream. I was happy making money. I was happy in business. And then when I come out of darkness into light, all that changed. The things that used to make me happy no more made me happy. Because why? I seen beyond the now into eternity. And I thought, Lord, I want my life to count for eternity. How about you? I mean, I know we're supposed to enjoy every day. I know we're supposed to have life and live in life and have it to the full. But do we have an eternal perspective of our walk in this life, fulfilling our purpose? Because if we don't, we need to check up on us. I'm not pointing my finger here. We're all in this together, my brother and sister. I was thinking about Billy Graham here, I don't know, middle of the night sometime. And he used the Living Bible. I know there ain't many churches, especially Word of Faith churches, you want to go into and say, I want to use the Living Bible. They'll probably throw rocks at you. But I know you won't because you love me, all right? So I'm going to read this to you. It says, as God's partners, we beg you not to toss aside the marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God says, your cry came to me in a favorable time when the doors of welcome were open wide. I helped you on that day when salvation was offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, He is ready to save you. Now, I want you to reverse that because I'm assuming you're saved, okay? If you're not, it's a good time to get saved. All right, now, the second thing is, let's look at that as the world that we have opportunity to minister to. I'm here to tell you, not everybody in your neighborhood saved. I believe when I was up home, my wife says, I believe there was a police officer killed in York, Pennsylvania. Is that correct? It's up to us to change these things, church. If we're waiting for the government to fix it, it ain't happening. We need to pray for our government. Don't misunderstand me. But we've got to do our place. We've got to take our part. And if you weren't here for the message this morning, please get it. Go online and download it. Listen to it. And listen to it over and over again. Because you don't want to faint in our prayer life in this hour of time. Can you say amen? As we look at this, he says, right now God is ready to welcome people. Today he is ready to save them. What time is it? Yeah. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, I want to wait till I get all my ducks in a row. They might never all get in a row. Do you know what I mean by that? Till I'm all just, you know, I'm perfect. Well, dear God, He's perfect. Follow Him and He'll help you. Can you say amen? Go to James chapter 5. You okay? James 5, I was listening to Brother Hagin, probably one of some of his last messages, and he was ministering in this vein and ended up going into something else. But understanding the heart of God, understanding the patience of God, and it really got my attention. I thought, Lord, I want to understand. I know it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Continue endurance. Like I said, I'll be a broken record. Get the message this morning. You don't quit. You don't quit. You don't give up. Can you say amen? So, oh, Jesus, help me. Verse 7, 5, James. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You know he's coming back. We understand it. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for what kind of fruit's he waiting for? What does he call humanity? The precious fruit of the earth. A while back I was dealing in the areas of us being pruned and trimmed and stretched and all the above. And it's not just for you, it's for all of us. Because God wants more fruit. And I know he wants the fruits of the Spirit to flow and operate in our lives and through us. But God wants souls. I said he wants souls. Yes. He wants your brothers and sisters. He wants your moms and dads. He wants your friends, your family. He wants the children in the high school. He wants the college student. He wants the politicians. He wants the doctors and the lawyers. He wants the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich. He wants them all. Because his price paid a price for all humanity, not just some. He waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. I should have been dead at 20. Well, not really 20, probably 18. In a motorcycle accident that I have barbed wire marks up my arms. And I should have drowned and had my throat cut by barbed wire and no clue at all other than I got a praying grandma. A praying aunt, a praying mama, and God only knows how many others were praying, that I didn't die that day. I didn't get saved then. I didn't come out of darkness at 18. I remember laying in the bed in the hospital with my leg was all messed up, and we were getting ready to get married, and I robbed her right out of the cradle, took her right out. And all of a sudden, I can't work anymore because I'm all messed up. They won't let me drive my car anymore because my leg's in a cast until I busted the cast so I could shift, and then I was able to do it. But the key was I laid in that hospital bed, and I remember the man beside me talking to me about his God. And I was in so much darkness, I shut it off. I believe that you and I are dealing with a generation that is in extreme darkness, extreme deception, extreme blindness. But he planted a seed. And I've shared with you, I remember my son at 5 years old saying, "Daddy, you're going to hell, you know it?" "Yeah." And then my aunt calling with her ruby red lipstick, who used to put a big smacker on my cheek and I had to rub it off with, you know, I had to get my mom's fingernail polish to get it off my cheek. It was so strong. But her name was Frida, and she called the house and I wasn't home, talking to my wife, says, "Is Bobby there?" "No." She was allowed to call me Bobby. "You're not." And she says, "Oh, he's at work." I says, "Well, when he gets there, you tell him that Jesus is coming back." I remember getting home and, you know, I was just getting wound up to do what I do after a hard day's work, and I was probably had a case of beer. I don't know what else I had. And she gave me that message, and when I was about 22, my brother told me the plan of salvation. I didn't listen to it. I didn't listen to it at 18. I wasn't really heeding to it through my son, other than I knew I was going to hell. But what got my attention was, within that week, after my wife said, "Your Aunt Frieda called and she wants you to know that Jesus is coming and you ought to get your life straightened out with him." She moved to heaven. In her life, he came back. Took her home. That really got my attention. And then it was through a near-death experience where I remember getting on my knees and crying out to God, "Save me." I went through a year not knowing the plan of salvation until a Baptist pastor said, "You need to read the Bible." Through reading the Bible, I got to about John chapter. He told me John's gospel. It was John 20. And I come to the conclusion, I believe this stuff. So my salvation wasn't at an altar like this. It wasn't in a service. And it wasn't with anybody else other than Jesus. And I just had it out because I grew up praying. "Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord's soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to keep." And in the process of that was, I didn't know who the Lord was, but I was very, very dedicated to say that prayer because I knew I was going to hell. Nobody had to tell me. I knew it. Because I didn't have a Savior. I didn't have peace. I didn't have things that you and I have today in our relationship with him. And in the process of that, I believe that. So my salvation, later I went to a course and got baptized in water in a Baptist church, and they get you all wet and you get down, and I told the Baptist pastor, I said, "This is awesome. I'm not telling anybody about it because I'll ruin my business." Because I had a good business with a bunch of heathens just like me. And I walk out the steps of that church. I know some of you have heard this story, but I want to tell you again because why? There are divine appointments for you of people just like I was. Some of them might be worse, if you can imagine that. Anyhow, I walk on the steps and brother says, "Hey, I see you got saved." I said, "Yeah. I'm not telling anybody about it." He says, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you look kind of like chapter 19 of Acts," and I'm thinking, who's he? And then I remember in my childhood, I'd go to the Catholic church once in a while. I lived in a Catholic neighborhood. My folks weren't Catholic. But I'd go there just because there was girls there. And I remember them tapping themselves and saying, "The Father said," I said, "Yeah, that's something to do with God, right?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "You need to read the Bible." So he turned me on to a Thompson Chain reference Bible, and later, make a long story even shorter, later my experience was I had a visitation, got filled with the Holy Ghost, all by myself, not in a church, just reading the Word. Changed my life, and everything I told the Baptist pastor as well as this guy, as far as I'm keeping my faith to myself, I'm not sharing this, I'm glad I'm saved, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, I'm glad I'm not going to hell now, and God loves me, I'm happy. But I ain't tell nobody. And after that experience, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I remember calling my friends. I remember making appointments. And if they wouldn't make an appointment with me, I'd talk to them on the telephone until they hung up. So the zeal of God got a hold of me by the power of what we understand as Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you so that you can be a witness. All right. Well, my translation of that was so I can witness. So my witnessing out of my mouth was not lining up with my walk. I know none of you have ever had that problem. So God kind of gave me a space of time to alter and change my attitudes and what I thought was my biggest problem. I thought it was my wife. Don't tell her that. And come to find out that my biggest problem was the guy I was looking at in the mirror. I started speaking to mountains, and God said, look in the mirror, and I did, and he says, there's your mountain. You're the one that has to change. Well, the entrance of his word gives you light, and it gives you illumination, and God's will, his purpose for your life and my life is that we represent him. He told us to operate and work in the ministry of reconciliation. But you'll have better fruit by allowing our lives to line up with his character, his nature, his attitude, his love, his kindness, his mercy, his patience, all the above, than we will just doing it out of the power of our flesh or out of our own personalities. So I want to encourage you, allow God's word, which is sharp, quick, powerful, separates spirit, soul, and body. We're not hiding our thoughts from God. We understand that we're naked and open to him. We all understand these things. But allow that word to penetrate deeper in the days that we're walking in, so that he radiates from you and from me and from us as a church. So when we do open our mouth, when we do share the good news, when we do pour out a testimony or give somebody a word or pray for the sick, because I believe that ministering to the sick is going to be one of the tools and one of the keys for this house to reap the harvest of this day and hour. But as you do that, know that you live in a glass house, and know that we cannot radiate our flesh and have the success in the spirit that God wants us to have. Does that make sense to you? We can do this, church. We can change. We can be transformed. We can repent, if I can use that terminology. I'll be quick. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to go too long here today. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter 3. You okay? Second Peter 3, I'll start in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. See, God was long-suffering to me because I should have been in hell at 18 years old. Not willing that any should perish. How many's any? But that all, how many is all, should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away in a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I'll read it to you out of the Amplified. I heard a great, great preacher this morning. He used this version, so I guess I can too. Verse 8, 2 Peter. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you. Beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises. Say, as for me and my house, they will serve the Lord. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient. Now, I know you guys have mastered that one. I'm still working on that. Toward you. Thank God he was towards me. And I shared that testimony with you. But what about towards them? Have we given up? I said, have we given up? We can't give up. We can't quit. This is a day to press in. Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I give you that promise today. I believe that God wants that promise to radiate in you as you intercede, as you pray, as you travail, as you understand the art of intercession and the work of warfare that takes place in worship and praise and adoration and declaration and declaring and decreeing, that the heavenly realm is going to shift and going to change, and you're going to see one of the greatest harvests known to mankind in the days that lie ahead. But we've got to be prepared. We've got to walk worthy. We've got to allow him to do what needs to be done in us so that our lives radiate who he is and that people actually see the real Jesus in practical lives just like you and me. That they see and they're touched by the same power that raised him up from the dead by your hands, by the power that you have as a believer. You are the believers of this day and this hour. This is your day and this is your hour to fulfill your purpose on this earth. And part of that purpose is to use and to operate in the ministry of reconciliation. And you can do it, church. I encourage you. I throw gas on your fire and let the fires of heaven burn within you and let the fires of hell be put out in the surrounding area in which we live in, because this is the day of salvation. And we can't underestimate the time in which we are called to. And we have grace for our season. We have grace for our place. So take your place and be bold, because the righteous are bold as a lion, according to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. And you are righteous today. You are clean today. You are holy today. You are his today. Understand, you belong to him. And he said that he would give you what you need to walk in the call and purposes of God, and his grace will always be sufficient for you to run the race, to hit the mark of the call that is upon your life. Come on up here, Alan. Apostle. You're going to pray for him.
Well, I know I'm out, right? What are you doing?
I'm going to encourage these folks. They got hands. Anybody don't have hands here? I want to pray for you. You got all hands, all right? Now, do this. All right. Extend your faith in the name of Jesus. We're not going to have 55 people come up here today, but we want to surround this brother. He's getting ready to do what we've been preaching in the name of Jesus. We're going to see the power of God flow and operate through him like he's never seen it before. He's going to have greater favor on this trip than he's ever known, and I believe God's going to raise him up up to see things that he hasn't seen, to know things that he doesn't know, and to hear by the Spirit, because the Spirit of prophecy is going to increase upon him. And as he ministers by that Spirit, he's going to come into alignment with the way he teaches, the way he ministers, and the practicality of what God, the Holy Spirit, is going to show him is going to be related in the messages of the way he presents the gospel, is the way he teaches truth. And it's going to flow like a river, because this brother's full of the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah.
I'm going to, it's prophetic, but I'm going to teach you so that you're ready to catch what's going to be in front of you in Sri Lanka. Because what's brought you there, as Jesus would say it, others have sown and we enter into their labors. Now that same reciprocal process will be your own personal experience. And I think it's good for the church body, for the family, just to get a little history. I know you have met and love, hopefully all of you, but definitely most of you have met and loved Pradeep from Sri Lanka. What you might not know is why he's here. How'd he get here? How'd a fella from Sri Lanka end up in York, Pennsylvania? Well, he had a friend that he was from India, who was going from Carolina to a conference in Harrisburg. And my wife Terry and I were there with another friend, and this friend we knew the Indian. And there was some, after the conference, we were kind of in the back milling around, and the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to meet him. And I looked across the room at the Indian thinking, well, that's who my friend knows, so I want to meet this minister from India. But this minister from India had this young fellow with him, Pradeep. Well, I went up, met the minister from India. You don't know who he is. It's not any connection with Israel. He was just kind of full of himself. I met him, and it was a dead spot. There was this young fella behind him who never spoke up because he was too polite and too honorable. I mean, he never said boo. And then so when the little conversation was over and everybody kind of dissipated, there's that young fella standing there, and I just looked at him. And I said, what's your name? Went up and chatted with him a little bit, and as soon as I shook his hand, electricity went through me. Well, we were driving back to Lancaster from Harrisburg, and my wife asked me, what'd you think about so-and-so? And I said, probably about what you did. Nothing burger. I don't like pushy, when people are pushy. That's another sermon, right? I said, but did you notice? I said it to Terry. I said, did you notice that young man that was with him? Oh, yeah, who was he? I said, I don't remember his name, but we're going to see him again. We're going to see him again. Well, fast forward, I believe it was 2 years. Another minister friend of mine, Robert William, we sent him down to Africa to minister. And while he was down there, he had a couple days free. And he called me and he said, you mind? I mean, I'm doing what you asked me to do here in Zambia. Do you mind if I go out into the bush to this orphanage? You know, that's what the Lord's leading me to. And I said, yeah, absolutely. We're behind you. And we had to help him with some things. He went out there, and this mother and father that ran this orphanage were showing him everything. And they were so excited. They had wedding pictures on their little coffee table. And they said, oh, we're just so excited. Our daughter just got married to a young man from Sri Lanka. Can't make this stuff up. I didn't know his name. I didn't know how to get in touch with him. I didn't know anything. And Robert William comes back from Africa, and we're sitting there, and he's talking, and he says, he tells the whole story. We're sitting there, and their daughter got married to this Sri Lankan, and I just felt like we need to meet him. And then he walks in, literally walks in Jerry Horst's house. And I'm like, wow, that's Armada.
Yeah,
see, it's not flesh, it's not who we are, it's how God weaves. And you just watch him do it, and you might as well just, and so he's got the ability or the opportunity, because you can't shut a spring off, to go to Sri Lanka. Because, you know, you can trace it all the way back. Well, we could trace our relationship all the way back. Now, I taught all that for this. You're going to meet somebody. And it's going to open up, if not new countries, new territory. I'm not sure on that. Just like I met Pradeep. And years later, you'll look back and you'll see the weaving of the Lord. Don't manufacture it, because some of them are a nothing burger. You know what I'm saying by that? That person's a good person. It's just they're not a part of our weave. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we're going to rejoice and you tell us all about it. Amen. Lord, let's stretch your hands towards him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the prophetic words that have been upon Alan's life.
Yes.
Years and years ago. There's no shelf life.
That's right.
On what you've spoken over him. Those things that seem old and dusty, we just brush them off, Lord. Everything is new. Everything is fresh. Everything is alive. And where he feels his vision for missions has grown almost uncontrollably, show him that it's just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And throw gasoline on that little tiny flame and let it roar, let it rise up, let it snap and crackle in the air in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the vision of Jesus' blood for the nations come forth in the name of Jesus. Ye shalabaka ye tokubrala hanchenta ye taha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Boy, it's fun. Glory. Yes, you may.
That for 30 seconds. I want to share something with the church. God just almost showed me this while I was back, while I was sitting in my chair. I'm like, they're praying for me. Why should I ask for the mic? It's just because I've got something they need to hear before you go. I'm like, okay. And I'm going to say something that I can say in one sentence. And it's not a sentence that I came up with. It came through another man of God. Yet I'm impressed to share it upon you because God's impressed upon me to pray it for you while I'm gone. I need it there, but you need it here. That's the only preface. Now we'll say the sentence. We, and that means this church, all of us, here and now, and while I'm gone, must not keep quiet what Jesus came to make public. So I'm going to be praying that over you while I'm in the air flying and while I'm there, and I'll be speaking it to them over there as well. So that was it, nice and short. And that's not normal, as many of you know.
Say that one more time. I like to hear that.
Just so you get this, he's asked me to share it again. We, that means you and I, all of us right here, must not keep quiet what Jesus came to make public. He came to show us what our Father's love looks like. That we need to make public with everybody. The good news. And that's really good news.
That's really good.
Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your angels that have charge over Alan. We bless you for divine protection, divine provision. Lord God, that he'll lack no good thing. And Lord, that you will use him in such unique ways by your Spirit. Lord, those doors that you've opened up, there will be more doors. Yeah, more doors. More doors, more opportunities, more revenue, more resources, greater provision, because there will be much more to be able to accomplish in the days that are ahead of you. You're going to see needs that are going to rip your heart. And God's going to give you direction and directives to be able to help meet those needs, Alan. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, I'm going to give this mic back to your granddad and let him close the service if he'd like to. And then I just want to thank you all for allowing me to be with you. I've been blessed.
You and Jane's got some things.
Yeah, and thank you.